Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back. Enjoying this time together talking about spiritual gifts, and we're in Romans 12. If you're picking up here, Johnny come lately, thanks for joining in. I would suggest, by the way, if you are just joining, that you would go back an episode or two and get the full scope of what are spiritual gifts and how does God use them, what's the purpose. We've talked a little bit about that already. But today we're in Romans 12 and verse number 7. We got halfway through the verse yesterday. We've talked about two gifts so far, prophecy and ministry. And I hope that that's rung true with some of you. No doubt there are some of you prophets out there willing to and boldly speaking into discerningly the lives of other people. And that's wonderful. Just make sure that you're doing that according to the proportion of faith, making sure that you're guarded and guided by the Word of God. And then there's some of you that are ministering out there. Your predisposition is to jump in, to get your hands dirty, to work, to serve behind the scenes. And I would just say to you, be careful that you don't become Martha, so cumbered about, distracted with her serving, that she neglected the better thing, which was spending time at the feet of Jesus. You can do both. You can serve and you can sit. And that's an important concept as well. So, prophecy and ministry, but then look at the third one here in verse number 7, where it says, or he that teacheth on teaching. Now, I love this. I think one of the reasons I love this is because I think that this is my spiritual gift, or at least one of them, is and I'm not saying I'm good at it. What I'm saying is that this is the way I think. And a teacher is one who feels the need, and this is God-given. This is something God has wired him or her to be. The need to clarify, to validate. Okay, here is what the Bible says. Here's why. Let me explain the reasons. Let me give you the context. Let me provide the background. Let me make sure that you understand this. As opposed to a prophet that's content just to say, this is the truth. Now you need to obey it and follow it. The teacher, I think that all good preaching ought to be good teaching too, because preaching is kind of the prophetic side of it. You know, here's what we ought to do with truth. But teaching is the why side of it. It's the reasons supplied. It's the context given. And so a teacher, I wonder, are you a teacher? Now, again, we said this last episode, we ought all to learn how to teach. And we ought to have the ability to teach. We ought to grow in that area. I think every believer has to obey the Great Commission. And part of the Great Commission is teaching them to observe all things. So we ought all to be teachers. Certainly every mom ought to be a master teacher. And as believers that grow in the Lord, there ought to always be somebody that we're mentoring and helping and guiding and discipling along the way. So in that sense, we're all teachers. But what I'm saying here is that some people have the gift of teaching. God just wires them to be able to explain things. He wires them in such a way to be able to give good reasons and explanations. It's just there. They just think that way. And again, they can't brag about that. They ought to be humble about that because that's something God has given them. You know, if God gave me $1 million today, just put it in my bank account and said, I want you to give that money away, and I gave you $50,000, you might say, wow, now you're so kind and generous. And I might say, well, you know, I'm just obeying the Lord. The Lord is the one that gave me that money, and I'm simply distributing it because he told me to, and there's joy in doing what God told me and employing that gift. Same way with our spiritual gifts. When I teach something and someone says, oh, Pastor Skelly, thanks for explaining that. You're such a good teacher. Now, I say, not tritely, well, praise the Lord. praise the Lord, because it is God that put that in my bank account. And so as I faithfully distribute it, who gets the glory? God does. And I get the blessing because I am being used of God to distribute what he has given me. So teaching, I think about a pastor and the qualifications of a pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 3. There it's called the bishop, another word for pastor, emphasizing more of his oversight ministry. But there in 1 Timothy 3, you see all these character qualities of a pastor: blameless, the husband of one wife, and all of that. But right there in the middle of all of those character qualities that churches ought to insist upon when it comes to leadership is one ability. And the one ability that every pastor is supposed to have is the ability to teach. In the Old English, it says apt to teach. So that doesn't necessarily mean that every pastor has to be have the gift of teaching, although that's helpful, but every pastor needs to be able to teach. So maybe that's your gift. You can know you have the gift of teaching if you're always needing to qualify information. Yeah, you can know you have the gift of teaching if when you read something or when you learn something, you're not satisfied just to know it. You have to share it with somebody. It's like, hey, let me show you a verse that God really helped me with today. Or let me share this thought I just learned. Or I just figured out how to do this. But I want to share that with, if that's you, then there's a really good possibility that God has wired you with, gifted you with this gift of teaching. Okay, let's move on. Look at verse number 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. So exhorting. What is exhorting? Well, exhorting is that ability to come alongside of others and to encourage them to move forward in a positive, godly, spiritual direction. An exhorter. I call this person the cheerleader. Come on, rah, 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 you can, but not in a trite way, not in a superficial way, but a person that identifies with, comes alongside of, and encourages the person to go forward with whatever. I think there are some great examples of exhorters in the Bible, and the best example, in my opinion, other than the Lord himself, is Barnabas. Do you know that Barnabas, that was not his name? You do know that. Barnabas was his nickname. Now, the name he had was Joseph. And you probably wouldn't know that except for Bible trivia, Joseph. And yet, Barnabas was such an encourager that he was given a nickname. The word Barnabas means son of consolation, known for encouragement. Like we would say today, Mr. Encouragement. Oh, here he comes, Mr. Encouragement. It's always wonderful to have people like that in our lives. And that's why it's important that every local church has this. Because if all we have in our life is a prophet who's always showing us what we're doing wrong and bless God, get this right. Now we need that. Or a teacher who's speaking to our head, and here's the reason why, and here are some explanations too. Well, the prophet is speaking to our will, the teacher is speaking to our mind, our decision, but the encourager is speaking to our heart, right? He's encouraging us. He's coming alongside. He's showing up. You think about Barnabas. He was willing to believe in a young convert by the name of Saul when everybody else was afraid of him. He went and got Saul from Tarsus when Saul was kind of off in oblivion by himself, and he brought him in and he encouraged him, and he was the one that gave John Mark, that second chance, right? Anytime you read about Barnabas, he was always blessing somebody, helping somebody, encouraging somebody. What a way to be known. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're the person that you see people, you see them struggling, you see them alone, you see them maybe not being utilized, and you're the one that comes alongside. Come on, get involved. We want you to be in. When you're at the church picnic, you see the guy that's off by himself, you go over to him. When you see somebody that's a little bit discouraged or somebody that's been missing out on church, boy, you call them and we missed you and we'd love to have you back and what can I do to help? And that's an encourager. We need those people in our lives. Maybe that's the way you've been wired. Now be careful, because sometimes those that are encouragers are not careful to give people the word of God. They're just like, don't worry about it. Get up. Let's go forward. Well, wait a minute. We need the word of God. We need to understand the word of God through a teacher. And we need to be serving and not just be a cheerleader. But so it's all important. But understand just the specific importance of being an encourager. Okay, let's move on real quickly to verse number 8 again. So we've talked about prophecy, we've talked about ministry, we've talked about teaching, we've talked about exhorting. Then watch this one, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Not ostentatiously, not in some complicated way, but just be the simple giver. He that giveth. You know that giving is not only an obligation that we believers have. We ought to all be givers. I believe personally that every believer ought to be a tither, and we certainly ought to be grace givers, if you want to use that term. But there are certain people to whom God supernaturally has gifted to be givers. They just have a predisposition to give. No, I want you to have this. No, I view my resources, I view my time, I view my talents as simply that which I can give to others. Now, you have to be careful as a giver because you can become overextended or you can enable, but a giver, aren't you glad that God has just blessed some people with that gift of giving? There's that willingness and capacity to bless others. And a lot of times, the person with the gift of giving is a person to whom God entrusts more resources. Not always. And sometimes the greatest gift is given by people that are abjectly poor. I think about the widow's two mites, and that's a great example. But some people have a natural predisposition to loosely grip their possessions and to give them lavishly for the benefit and service of others. Maybe that's you. That's a wonderful gift to employ in the confines of a local church ministry. Okay, let's talk about one more, verse number 8, where the Bible says, and he that ruleth with, let's talk about the last two. He that ruleth, so ruling here is the gift of administration, ruling, leading, with diligence. God has given some people the ability to see bigger pictures, to see how component parts go together in the administrative process, to be able to lead groups of people, to be able to guide groups of people. A lot of times in local churches, this would be like the administrative pastor, the Sunday school superintendent, the event coordinator, people that know how to work with different people, with different giftings, to follow certain schedules, to coalesce things in a certain way, to get the job done, and leadership. And that's a gift that God has given certain people. We'll come back to that when I give you the summary. And then finally, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So a mercy shower is one that, just that, mercy is the one that comes along people that are broken, people that have sinned, people that have stepped out of the way, and is coming not as a prophet to say, here's what you did wrong, not as a teacher to say, here, let me explain what you did wrong, not even as an exhorter to say, come on, let's move forward, but someone that just is willing to speak the language of silence, to sit with, to love, to feel with, to empathize, to be there for, to feel that pain with a mercy person. I used to think that exhortation and mercy were the same things. Now, my wife has reminded me over and over again that they're not the same thing, and I don't have mercy. This is the gift I'm working on. Why? Because, boy, when you're struggling, I want to just say, suck it up, you know, get over it. What's your problem? Let's go forward. Now, I'm more than willing to exhort. I'm more than willing to teach. But wow, to have that mercy, to feel with, to speak the language of silence, to give it time, that's difficult for me. I'm not a warehouse of compassion in those ways, and God's working on me. But maybe that's you. And my, how we need ministers of mercy in our local church who are just there to say, I'm with you, and I feel it too. And I'm right alongside. Now, we got to quit because I'm out of time. But I promised you a couple episodes ago that we would take all those gifts and talk about how do we react to situations, and what's a good illustration about how these gifts show interplay with each other. Okay, so next episode, I'm going to give you a little bit of a, before we jump into verse number 9, I'm going to give you a little bit of a summary of how these all work together. It'll be helpful. I hope you'll join us for that. Until then, have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.